back in the 1970s. I remember going around to play Marbles with my friend Richard Gooden. We'd play all our favourite sweet records.
Marbles, that was a good game.
He used to beat me as well, and he used to come round to my house for a revenge match. He'd beat me again and then go straight home afterwards, after taking all my marbles. Chris wanted that, and we'll also play it for Andrew, who came up with the theme this week. You actually wanted Ballroom Blitz, but seeing as Chris got there first and asked for a Teenage Rampage, I thought we'd do that. And we start there with The Love Affair, Everlasting Love for David, who says, I went to the same school as singer Steve Ellis, although the headmaster was not so impressed, stating at assembly that it wasn't proper music. Great song there, actually. 14 minutes past 8, the Full English Breakfast Show. Moving swiftly on, got so many to get through today. Rob would like to dedicate this to you, Sarah. It's his guilty pleasure. It's the Wham Rap. Pop quiz.
Certainly is. All to do. They're all songs that are ranked as guilty pleasures. This track by a Quebecois-Canadian singer was a hit for her in 1996. I'm going to give you the lyrics to the three tracks, so you have to tell me who sang it and what's the song. There were nights when the wind was so cold that my body froze.
Dion.
How do you know that?
Well, because if it wasn't a French Quebecois singer, well, I suppose she is, but okay, she sings in English. So.
Yeah, well, can you tell me the song?
No.
That my body froze in bed if I just listened to it right outside the window. There were days when the sun was so cruel that all the tears turned to dust and I just knew my eyes were drying up forever.
No.
It's all coming back to me now.
Oh, right. Well, I got Celine Dion right.
You did.
Because I thought you were going to go me with a rock voisin or Mylène Farmer, but...
OK, this is a hit for a British singer-songwriter in the UK. It was the biggest single of 1987, staying at number one for 5 weeks, and it topped the charts throughout Europe. The lyrics are, we're no strangers to love, you know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm
Rick
thinking
Astley,
of.
Never going to give you up.
Correct. And finally...
Is that a guilty pleasure?
Apparently so,
hasn't
yes.
It passed into sort of the lexicon of pop classics now?
Well, obviously not. Right. Ranked number six as a guilty pleasure, this song by American singer-songwriter. The lyrics are, I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long. And if you feel like I feel, baby, then come on, oh, come on.
What year?
It was 1960. It was 1973. It was a title track of this artist's album in 1973.
David Soul?
No. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for
so long.
Well,
I can think
of
is John Otway and Wild Willie Barrett called Baby That's Really Free.
No, think of the intro. It goes...
No, I don't know. Go on, I'm not going to get that.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, Let's Get It On.
Yes.
That's not a guilty pleasure, surely.
Number six, I told you this
you
yesterday.
You mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah.
That's just a class
Shocking.
Song. I should have got that, but you weren't doing a very good impersonation. No, if you'd actually sung it, then I might have got it.
No, it would have got... No, that would have... been worse, believe you me.
Right, childhood favourites, guilty pleasures. Good morning to Jill. I can't resist asking you to play Hey Paula by Paul and Paula. I used to listen to it on Radio Luxembourg while hiding under the bed sheets. And I was watching the video yesterday and Paula's hair is identical to mine at that time, back combed and hairsprayed to the point where it didn't move at all. Even the time that I went on a roller coaster ride in Blackpool. So here it is, Jill.
Riviera Radio. Business.
And now it's suburban heartthrob Hank Potts. Good morning.
Good morning. I like the introduction.
Are you the
Very
pin-up
nice.
Boy of Cobham?
I would think, well, there's quite a lot of competition around here, to be fair. I wouldn't say who, but yes, I'm probably up there, I'd imagine. In the top 10,000.
And modest with it as well. Okay, right, markets not too bad on Wall Street yesterday. European shares down a bit, so it's hard to know which direction the market's going at the moment.
S&P 500 rose 0.5%, helped by positive economic data and progress in the distribution of the vaccines in the United States. Banking and transportation companies led the gains. Banks benefited as the Federal Reserve said that banks that pass the stress test can hike dividends. President Biden announced a new goal of administering 200 million COVID vaccine doses in his first 100 days in office. 10-year Treasury held steady despite a bit of a lackluster 7-year government bond auction. In Europe, you say stocks certainly edged lower. concerns over lockdown extensions and vaccine distribution delays, keeping cyclical stocks on the back foot. The eyes of the financial world, as everyone else is very much watching what's taking place in the Suez Canal. Oil prices on the rise once again this morning, on mounting fears that it could take longer, perhaps even as much as weeks, to dislodge this giant container ship that's blocking the canal, which could squeeze supplies of crude and refined products. Although the outlook for demand has also been dented with fresh lockdowns we've been talking about taking place in Europe. So a bit of a balancing act taking place there. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive this morning. Risk on, got the FTSE up 37 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 84 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 35 points this morning.
Is Mrs. Potts keeping you on the back foot?
She always does. She always does.
Do you think Egypt might have to call for assistance to try and get this this massive ship moved? Because they don't seem to be having much luck so far.
I think they're putting in international salvage experts to try and do this, and they've got some new machinery taking place within it. So it's they're certainly trying to do all that they can to move it, but it could have a significant impact. And now for companies, they have to decide whether to send the ships the long way round. Now, the long way round is a timely and costly experience, it has to be said. It takes 15 days longer if you send ships around the Cape, and it costs at least probably $300,000 in extra fuel. So a decision for companies to make on that one. Those that are already there ahead of the queue, I suppose, will wait to see exactly how long it takes place. For other companies, they may decide to reroute them. But if you look at transportation costs, freight costs have spiked overnight, as you'd probably expect, on news that it could take much longer than anticipated.
Well, thanks, Captain Pugwash, for that update.
I think it was the, it's not the captain to be blamed for this one, actually. I think there's a couple of pilots, you know, professional pilots that take these container ships through. So I suppose if anyone is to blame, it's probably them, although they don't, no doubt, will talk about the weather conditions, which were apparently pretty bad.
That's right. Blame the pilots. Go on. Blame the pilots.
They could have just, pilot.
They should have flown over it then instead, shouldn't they?
Not that sort of pilot.
No. You touched briefly on US data, and it's looking quite good, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a better-than-expected weekly jobless claim figures yesterday. 684,000 Americans filed for initial claims in the week ending March the 20th. That was down 97,000 on the previous week. First time it's been below the 700,000 mark in a year, although it's still above the highest that we saw during the course of the great financial crisis, which was 665,000. Numbers, should remember, are volatile. There's been higher levels of fraud in the system. Alongside that, high claims levels has created backlogs. So don't particularly look at one set of figures, but I think the trend is positive. Labour market has been gaining momentum, and we think we'll continue to do so as that vaccination programme makes progress. States reduce business restrictions. Figures also yesterday showed the third estimate of US GDP growth in the fourth quarter was revised up to 4.3%. We've certainly become more positive around the outlook for the US economy, raising our growth forecast for this year, which now stands at 6.7%. Quite a, well, very strong number, no doubt about it.
Okay, and a big row brewing of several large firms, including Nike, H&M and Burberry, over their cost and buying practices in China.
Exactly right. Shares of all those companies under pressure yesterday, this after allegations emerged about how the company buys cotton from a region in China that's been linked with forced labour. Chinese authorities have rejected those claims, but companies may face a dilemma. Carry on buying the cotton and deal with the fallout in home markets. Stop buying it and risk a boycott in these crucial growth Chinese markets. China, should remember, is an increasingly important market to global consumer companies. More than a billion people, where earning and spending power has been increasing. Tensions over sourcing cotton could encourage Chinese consumers to switch to domestic brands, hurting international rivals. Nike shares down around about 5%. Luxury, you could argue, perhaps even more vulnerable to reduced demand in China if that was the case. Burberry shares were down more than 6% at one stage during the course of the trading session yesterday.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, Western governments and these big corporations are always bleating on about how they, you know, they really want human rights respected. When push comes to shove, if it's money, which is the bottom line, they turn a blind eye.
It's somewhat of an economic balance, it has to be said. Now, some would say, actually, if you become linked economically, of course, then it opens up the engagement rather than trying to force sanctions. It's intervention through debate and through dialogue that is the key to trying to improve conditions around the world. Others would say you need to be a little bit more aggressive. I think the Biden administration will try to find a balance between those.
Well, this is not a new story, of course. I mean, sports manufacturing goods companies have been sort of linked with sweatshops in Bangladesh and other parts of the subcontinent for years, but it just carries on.
They have been indeed, and there has been a backlash, and really you have to say it comes down to the consumer, to be honest. If there's the willingness for consumers to try and push through stronger workers' rights for the supply chains, then companies will have to adhere to those and will have to realign their practices. If consumers continue to demand cheaper and cheaper goods and turn a blind eye to where it comes from, then these practices no doubt will continue for longer than any of us would like.
Got your Nike trainers on this morning, or are you still in your slippers?
I haven't got Nike trainers. I've got these ASIC trainers. Do you have those? Are they ASIC? I think that's what I've got these days.
Really? Well, you don't even know.
Well, I think they are. They are ASIC ones. And actually, the two, I had Nike for a lot. Do you call it Nike? We always called it Nike when I was a boy, but now it seems to be Nike.
Well, it's always been Nike. Yeah, we used to call it Nike. Yeah.
Years and years and years. And then ASIC, I think I really like. The other ones that are cool, I think, are these on cloud. You know, these Swiss ones, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure you have them in your part of the world. I like those as well, actually. They're pretty smart.
No, I'll get my clothes from Carrefour these days.
I can well imagine. For those tracky bottoms you go around in. Pound against the dollar, 137.5. Euro dollar, 117.5. Carrefour trainers and old tracky bottoms. €1, 16.5 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.
Talk to you on Monday. Hey, Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lightson has the top stories across the Riviera.
New lockdown measures similar to those already in place in 16 departments of France since last Saturday are to come into force from midnight tonight in the Rhône, Nièvre and L'Aube. Speaking during Thursday's press conference, Health Minister Olivier Véran said that the health situation was accelerating in France and hospitals in certain regions are under immense pressure. The minister concluded that it is too soon to ease measures and too late to not do anything. The government is still determined to keep schools open, saying that the health protocol will be stepped up. 2,962 classes and 105 schools are currently closed in France. That's up by 30% in 1 week. And meanwhile, teaching unions in the Île-de-France region have called for strike action due to the current situation in the schools. As far as the national figures for COVID are concerned, 27,036 patients are currently hospitalised, including 4,709 in intensive care. 228 people have died in hospital in the last 24 hours, bringing the total death toll in France to 93,378 since the start of the pandemic. In addition, 45,641 new cases of COVID have been identified in the past 24 hours. Figures in the Alpes-Maritimes and the Var show that 7 new deaths from COVID have been declared in hospitals in the Alpes-Maritimes. Since the start of the epidemic, the coronavirus has killed 1,714 people in the department. That's 1,271 in hospitals and 443 in nursing homes. According to COVID Tracker, the incident rate stands at 409, increasing slightly since Wednesday when it stood at 404. And in the Var, 11 new deaths linked to COVID were reported on Thursday in hospitals. Since the start of the epidemic, the coronavirus has killed 1,556 people in the department. That's 428 in nursing homes and 1,128 in hospitals. And for the incident rate in the Var, it currently stands at 352. 17 new cases of COVID were identified on Thursday in Monaco, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,227 since the start of the pandemic. 34 people are currently in hospital and 81 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, speaking on Thursday evening, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, has said that he was right not to return to lockdown at the end of January, refusing any mea culpa. The head of state also said that by the end of the summer, all French people who wish to be vaccinated will have been. A recent study carried out by Opinionway has shown that 57% of French people intend to be vaccinated against COVID. And if you thought that the attestation forms were complicated enough, in the Seine-Maritime, they've issued the certificate in the regional language and it's completely legal. The Normandy Regional Council announced the posting of a Norman language version of the attestation on Tuesday. In other news, more than 200 French politicians have demanded a real law for climate. The Climate and Resilience Bill is to be examined in the National Assembly from March the 29th. Meanwhile, 220 political figures have criticised the text, saying that it's not up to the urgency and are calling for a true climate law. According to a study by the Energy and Clean Air Research Centre published today, in France, nearly 3,500 air pollution-related deaths have been prevented in 2020. The study concludes that in Europe, 38,000 deaths linked to air pollution have been prevented last year, mainly due to the health measures linked to the COVID. The SNCF has announced plans to reduce the number of TGVs in circulation from Monday, and the move should allow the company to adapt to the drop in passengers, which has again fallen with the measures to curb the epidemic put in place in several regions across France. The internationally celebrated French film director Bertrand Tavernier has died aged 79. His most famous films include The Clockmaker, Round Midnight and Life and Nothing But. Born in Lyon in 1941, he headed the Institut Lumière, named after the brothers who invented cinema. He was also a screenwriter, actor and producer. Registrations for the Nice Cannes Marathon are now open. The event, which was cancelled last year due to the health crisis, is set to take place on November the 28th, starting on the Promenade des Anglais in Nice. The Mayor of Nice, Christine Estrosi, has said that in order to preserve the purchasing power of the people of Nice, local council tax rates will be maintained after several years of consecutive property tax cuts. However, he said that Nice will still be amongst the major cities in France with the lowest property tax. Finally, ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Faced with an unprecedented health crisis in France, it would appear that the French have sought comfort in sweet desserts and in particular in ice cream, which last year saw 171,000 tonnes sold. Like cheese, another comfort food for the French, according to figures from the Association of Ice Cream Companies carried out by the Nielsen firm, the ice cream sector experienced revenue growth of 10.3% to €1.26 billion. And this represents 171.8 million kilos of ice cream sold in 2020. In total, more than 24 million households have consumed ice cream, an additional 440,000 buyers compared to 2019.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. So all my flavours are guaranteed to satisfy. Kimi Räikkönen likes ice cream. He's a big choc ice fan.
I like ice cream.
Haven't had anything for ages. It's not really ice cream season, is it?
Oh, it's always ice
cream
season.
Okay. Formula One, first practice for the opening Grand Prix of the season in Bahrain takes place at 12.30 lunchtime today. The early signs are the Red Bull may take the challenge to Mercedes this season, with Lewis Hamilton saying the team does not have the fastest car on the track. Does anyone believe him, though? Hamilton is bidding for a record 8th Drivers' Championship this season, which would see him eclipse Michael Schumacher. Mercedes may face an increased challenge from Red Bull and Max Verstappen in particular. Second practice at 4pm, qualifying at 4pm on Saturday, and the race at 5pm on Sunday. Football European qualifying for next year's World Cup has been continuing with several games last night. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. England got off to the best possible start in qualifying for next year's World Cup in Qatar, beating San Marino 5-0 at Wembley Stadium. Everton's Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored twice, and there was a debut goal for Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins as the Three Lions cruised to victory. Former England goalkeeper Rob Green co-commentated on the match for the BBC.
It is satisfactory, and you just can't get too carried away with it with a game like this. They've beaten what was in front of them, and you're pleased for the guys who've got on the score sheet. They're looking at Ollie Watkins getting his debut goal. We've got to be delighted for him. And it, all it missed, I think, was more goals, and particularly for Jesse Lingard, who was all over the pitch, was all action, did everything bar score. So a lot of positives there for England. But as we say, there's a huge, huge caveat in there.
Elsewhere, Manchester City midfielder İlkay Gündoğan took his excellent club form to the national side, scoring as Germany beat Iceland 3-0 in Duisburg. The Arsenal captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was on the score sheet for Gabon as they beat the Democratic Republic of the Congo 3-0 to secure qualification for next year's Africa Cup of Nations. The former Wales and Bolton defender Sam Ricketts has told the BBC the national team may need to consider their managerial options. Assistant manager Rob Page has been taking the team, with former Manchester United winger Ryan Giggs still unavailable because of an ongoing legal issue.
Ryan is going through that situation at the minute, which for me, it just needs sorting out. I think everyone needs a clear path of who's going to be leading the team now. Obviously, that has to be done correctly. If Ryan is going to be there, great, get him back involved. And if he isn't, then put someone in permanent charge.
Wales have the European Championships in the summer and more 2022 World Cup qualifiers to come. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Not such a good night for Scotland. They were held to a 2-2 home draw against Austria, and Northern Ireland went down 2-0 in Italy. Cricket, England captain Owen Morgan's been ruled out of the final two one-day internationals in India with a hand injury. Morgan split the webbing between his thumb and index finger in the first ODI on Tuesday. Now, batsman Stan Billings is also out of today's match with a collarbone injury. England need to win today's second match to keep the series alive. Plain Poon starts at 9 a.m. French time. West Indies batted out day five to draw the first test against Sri Lanka in Antigua. The tourists couldn't dismiss the home side in their second innings as they chased an unlikely victory. Now, West Indies ended on 236 for four, with Bonner scoring a maiden century to help keep the Sri Lankan bowlers at bay. Rugby Union France will attempt to overhaul Wales to win the Six Nations Championship when they face Scotland in Paris tonight. Now, France will need a big score and bonus points if they're to win the championship, while Scotland know if they win by at least eight, they'll finish second in the table. The match at the Stade de France kicks off at 9 p.m. You look confused.
I'm a bit confused because it's 21 points that France needs, yes. But they also need four tries.
Yeah, well, you get a bonus points if you score four tries or more.
Oh, okay, I see.
And that would tip it in their favour. But Scotland have been playing well this season, as we said yesterday, so should be a good match. Shame it's on at 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
Why? What's wrong with that? Perfect. You can
stay up for that. Monty Don at the same time.
Oh, God. I forgot about Monty Don. How could I?
And in golf, Rory McIlroy has kept his hopes in the WGC match play alive with the victory over Lanto Griffin in Texas. McIlroy won by 4-3 and now needs to beat Cameron Smith if he's to make the knockout phase. Ian Poulter is best placed to win Group 11 after he beat Cameron Smith on Thursday. Does he still wear pink trousers?
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almere Sea in the Var, the general situation, weak high pressure, 1,025 millibars across the Mediterranean. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,022 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 3, southwesterly winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,021 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy today, light variable winds, temperatures 15 or 16 degrees, overnight lows 10 degrees with cloudy skies, the weekend partially cloudy, highs of 15 to 17 degrees. Finally,
scientists have revealed that cheap wine tastes better if the price tag is bumped up. It's thanks to a new study on whether posh plonk is really worth the cash. Results show that with no price on show, there was zero difference in how pleasant the wines were rated. This was true regardless of whether it was a cheap or expensive wine. And guess what? When the wine or price of the wine was shown to be far higher than its true cost, the pleasantness ratings went up.
In my experience, cheap wine gives you a terrible hangover.
Yes, but then maybe if your brain thinks that it's expensive wine, Because your brain can do amazing things, you know, that we don't know about. You only don't use all of it.
It's not capable of changing the chemical composition of wine, though, is it? So.
True, but the way your body adapts to it might just change it.
Oh, well.
No.
Well, let's try it out and see who's right. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc. Favourite songs of your youth or childhood or guilty pleasures. And now for Lucy. It's the Glenn Medeiros of the 1970s.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, don't wet yourself.